Tonight's shiur is for the week of Parshas Emor. Begin with a story, Reuven, that is from a city called Kiryat Atta, and he was visiting Yerushalayim. So he gets on the bus in Yerushalayim, the intercity bus, and he's sitting there, and you notice who walks on the bus is a friend of his from Kiryat Atta, Shimon. And he notices that Shimon's carrying a case with a laptop, like a laptop case, the computer. Fine. So Shimon comes on, the case in his hand, and Reuven says, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing, Shimon? Oh, very nice, what brings you to Yerushalayim?" Back and forth, okay. And after they say hello to each other, Shimon then proceeds. Before he sits down, he took the computer case, and he put it on the shelf above the seat where he was sitting. Okay, and he sits down, so some person, you know, next to him, whatever. Okay, in the meantime, the bus continues on its journey, and Reuven notices that Shimon got off the bus. Shimon got off the bus. And then a few stops later, it was time for Reuven to get off the bus. What happens? He took a look and he noticed that when Shimon got off the bus, he didn't take his laptop. He left it on top in the compartment, the shelf above the seat. So he goes, "Oi, my poor guy, you know, he left his laptop. Boy, I better take it for him." So before Reuven gets down from the bus, he takes the laptop from the shelf, and Kavan is that when he gets home, he'll be in touch with his friend Shimon and, you know, give back his computer. Okay. So eventually he made it back to Kiryat Atta, to his home, in the evening, and they proceeded to find Shimon's number, which he did, and he gave him a call. So he says, "Shimon, I'm happy to tell you that, actually, like to thank you, Shimon, that you're mezakeh me in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Shkoyach." Shimon says, "What are you talking about?" So Reuven says, "What do you mean, what am I talking about? Your computer, your laptop that you forgot in the bus, well, you'll be happy to know that I saw it and I took it." So Reuven proceeds to say that you can come pick up the computer, it's by my house. Shimon then says back to Reuven, "I think there's been a little bit of a misunderstanding here." He says, "What?" He says, "I didn't leave any laptop in the bus." Reuven says, "What do you mean? I saw you come on the bus and you were holding a laptop and you put it in the shelf above." Shimon interrupts him and he says, no, Reuven, see, I'll tell you what happened. I was getting on the bus, and in front of me was a man, and he had a whole bunch of different packages, carrying this and carrying that, and I felt bad. I said, 'Can I give you a hand?' So the man said, 'Oh, it'd be very nice, thank you. Could you please take my laptop for me?' Anyways, he got on with the rest of his packages, and he sat down in the seat, and then I put the laptop, the other guy's laptop, on the shelf above the seat, and I proceeded to sit down next to him. It's not my laptop. You took this other guy's laptop by mistake." So Reuven says, "Oh, I don't believe it." He says, "Oh, okay. Sorry," and hangs up. So now, next step, Reuven has to find the owner, the real owner of this laptop. So he takes it out and he starts looking for some information. And he is able to find out the name of the person who it belongs to. He looked it up. He got a number and he called the other person up. And he says to him, Reuven says to the guy, I really apologize, but by mistake, I took your laptop. I thought it was somebody else's, and I took it, because my friend, if you know the guy that brought it on the bus for you, well, he was my friend, and I thought it was his, and I took it." He's explaining the whole story. So he says, "I really apologize." So the person says, "Wow," he says, "You don't realize this. I'm a graphic artist, and this, you know, I can't be without my computer. And I was going crazy, where's my computer? And roommate says, yeah, and, you know, I really apologize. So you can come and get it, it's not a problem. So the person says, excuse me, come and get it? I don't, you mentioned you're from Kiryat Atta. Well, I live all the way down, I live in Yerushalayim. I'm not going to stop all the way to Kiryat Atta to get, you're the one that took my computer, you have to bring it to me. So he says, I don't know about that, Lamaisa. It was a mistake. I didn't mean to take it, and I think you have to come and get it. Anyways, back and forth, they had this machlekes, who gets the computer, and who has to go to whom to receive the computer. So they brought the Rav, the Shiloh to the Rav. Okay, so what is the, who's right in this situation? Well, Reuven, he acted 100% proper according to the laws of the Torah. Meaning, you see somebody with something in his hand and he puts it down and he leaves without it, you have a mitzvah to take it and return it. In this case, it wasn't his. Okay, it was something unusual. In fact, we have a rule, that's the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Mem Vav, Amud Beis, and other places, that there's a chazaka. Chazaka chomasha tachas yado shel adam shalohu. We have a rule that anything you see in a person's hand, we have a chazaka that belongs to him. Again, that's not always the case, but generally speaking, something that somebody has, he's holding on to, you can assume, for all intents and purposes, it's his. Mele, when Reuven saw Shimon with this laptop in his hand and he put it on the shelf, he could have and should have, which he did, assumed that it belongs to Shimon. Okay, it was unusual that it happened to be somebody else's, he was helping, whatever. But since Reuven did what was correct, and he proceeded to do the Mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, which he thought was the Mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, in this case to his friend, and by accident happened to be not. But since he followed the correct, what he was supposed to do, so Mimele, the person who he took the computer from has to schlep up to Kiryat Atta to receive the computer in return. And in fact, this rule that we mentioned, this chazaka, that we assume what's in a person's hand belongs in, it's because of that, Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Melser used to say, that's why when a man is Mekadesh a woman, gives her a ring and says, Arei Mekudeshesli, puts it on her finger, how do we know maybe it's not his ring? How do we know? Again, nowadays we take extra precautions. In fact, if you notice under chuppahs, very often the rabbi will say, is this your ring? Did you buy with your own money? But even if that would not be the case, and stop, chassan gives a ring to a woman in front of anywhere, it's mekudeshes. Maybe it's not his. So Rabbi Yisrael Zalman used to say that's no, because we have this rule, chazaka, that what a person has in his hand belongs to him. So we assume if the chassan gave this ring to the kala, it was his ring. That's halachically. Mele, as we said, the person whose laptop it really belongs to has to go schlep and get it back. And in fact, that's in general said in the name of the Chazanish and Rav Moshe Feinstein as well. That is the general halacha when it comes to a Shabbos Aveda. If I find something, I announce it. I found this and this and thing. It's up to the loser to come and get it. You know, if he phones me and gives me a simino, I say, yeah, that's it. You know, he has to schlep and get it. I don't have to go to him and bring it to him. That's the halakha when it comes to Shabbos Aveda. And once again, since Reuven thought, at least, he was being mekayim the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda over here, and he acted properly, because that's what he should have thought, and therefore, it's up to the owner of the computer to make his way to Reuven to receive it b'chazara. Whilst on the topic of Shabbos Aveda, a couple of other stories. First of all, from the Yeshiva Porat Yosef, the Talmidim saw once their Rosh Yeshiva, Hagan Reb Ben Sion Abba Shaul Zatzal, that once he was walking through the halls of the Yeshiva, and he was giving out candies and things, sweets, to the various Talmidim. So when he was asked, what is the Rosh Hashiva doing exactly? So he says, I'll tell you, this morning I had the rare opportunity to mekayim the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. I was walking in the street and I saw a wallet and I picked it up and I was able to return it to its owner. And therefore, that's why I'm giving out candies and things. It's like a type of sudas mitzvah that have thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was mezamin me this very dear mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. That's my sudas mitzvah. Another maisa, same area. This Avreich was once went on vacation with his family, and they went to Tveria. And usually he tries, he said, very hard to daven Hanetz in the morning, Pesikin. But, vacation, the kids, they had to sleep late, whatever. So one morning they slept in a little bit, and therefore he missed the Netz Minyan. They went to the, as a result, they went to the Shtiblach in the Shchunas Kiryas Shmuel to catch a minion at the Shtiblach. Okay, so he, he drives there, and as soon as he gets out of the car, he notices near the Shtiblach on the fence a black bag. So he, when he asked one of the neighbors over there, well, what do they think this is? So they said, well, most likely, people are coming and going here, davening, it's a shtiblach, a minion factory. So probably one of the people that went to were davening, he left his, by accident, left his talis and tefillin here. So he proceeded to open up the teak. And what happened? It exploded in his face. No. So he opened up the teak and he found inside a talis and tefillin, which he had thought was going to be the case. However, next to it were all kinds of documents and envelopes. And not only that, tremendous sum of money, cash. It was thousands of shekels in cash there. So he started going through it to try, to find some sign of who it might belong to, and he noticed that they were like receipts and stuff from a gamach. And okay, so he was able to get the number of the person who runs the gamach, and he called them up, and he said to him, "Hello, I have a question for you, sir." He says, "Yes." He says, "Where are your tefillin?" So he says, "Where am I tefillin? Well, exactly who are you? What do you mean, where am I tefillin?" So comes out, he didn't even realize that he left this teak with the tefillin in it. Anyway, so what happened? It came out that this person, he ran a gamach, and he was going on vacation also to Tveria, and he didn't want to leave all the gamach and all the money in his house, unattended. So he decided he'll take it along with him and put it on this black bag. And he was schlepping along with him, all the money from the gemach. Okay, but he accidentally left it there when he was davening. And the Savrek picked it up. Anyway, so he said, thanked him profusely for, he said, "How can I get it back?" So he said, "Listen, I'm leaving back now to B'nai Brak, where I live. But I have some acquaintances here in Tveria. I'll just leave it by them. I'll give you the address, and you can pick it up from them." Fine. And Chachava, that's what happened. He left it by them, and the person got his teak back. In the meantime, Savreich came back to B'nai Brak, and they went to Daven Mincha, Shul. So, just before you got into Shul, a friend of his was talking to some person, who his friend turned to him and he says, "Give this guy a bracha." He says, "Excuse me? What do you mean?" He says, "This guy here, Nebuch, he's been married 9 years and he has no children. He needs a bracha. Give him a bracha." So the Avreich said, "Listen, I'd like to give bracha, but I'm not a rebbe by any, what is my bracha going to do? Why are you?" He goes, "Doesn't matter. He needs a bracha. Give him a bracha." So the Avreich thought for a second. He says, "You know what? I have a better idea." You know, this morning I was Hashem mezachami in the to be able to do a very rare mitzvah called the Shabbos Aveda. And Baruch Hashem, a person lost a tremendous amount of money, and I was able to get it back to him. I'll tell you what. In that schus, the schus of that mitzvah that I did this morning, I'll give that schus to this fellow over here that he should have a child in that merit. So that's what he did. And wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what happened. They gave him the schus, and he was zoiche shortly after to have his first child. Hafla b'fel. Next. So Maisa with a bacher that he went to learn in some type of institution that was quite a distance away from his parents' home. And as a result, he wasn't able to make it home all that often, only ever once a month or something. And he was in touch with his parents, and they asked him how things are going, and he said, what can I tell you? It's okay, the learning's fine, but I miss food, and couldn't hurt to have a little bit of extra money and some extra clothing, whatever. So the parents really wanted to, you know, get him a little pakala together, a little package, and send it to their son. So the father was thinking, well, what's the most efficient and inexpensive way of getting this package to my son? So he thought, and he came up with an interesting idea. He put together this package, and then he went to the local bus terminal, and when the bus pulled up that was going to the, you know, town where his son was learning, and, you know, they lift up the, you know, baggage compartment, you know, on the side of the bus, people put their things in. He then proceeded to put the package suitcase in there. Okay, they closed it and the bus drove off. In the meantime, he then called his son and he said, listen, I put your package on such and such a bus, and this is the bus number, and in 2 hours or whatever, be at the bus station and, you know, look out for this particular bus. And when it stops, take out the package and, you know, this luggage, it looks like this and this and this, and you'll have it. So that's exactly what the bacher did. He waited at the bus stop, it pulled up, he realized that was the bus, he opened up the compartment, and there it was, the suitcase, took it out. And the father said, wonderful, so I can, you know, do this regularly, it's great, really efficient. However, then the Shaila came up, is this halakhically permitted or not? On the one hand, maybe it's gzela, you know, they're using the bus to transport, you know, their luggage. But on the other hand, could be that we have a concept of zen and vizel ochaser, that, you know, the bus is anyways going over there, and not, you know, causing the bus company any loss, and yet they are nehene from it, they're getting hana, you know, having their thing move, so maybe it's okay. So that was the shaila that was brought up. The answer that was given was that they may not do such a thing. If they do, they have to pay the bus company for the transportation of the articles. Why? Because when a person pays for the his bus trip, that includes himself, and if he has a bag, you know, he can put it underneath or whatever, and that's all part of the price. But you're paying for it, and you have to pay for it. And then therefore, it's we don't say, for example, the concept of zen and emezel chaser, if it's a chatzer, the kai milagre, the Gemara says. In other words, if a person comes into my chatzer without me asking my permission, so if I wasn't going to rent it out or do anything with it anyways, so then there's a shaila, maybe he doesn't have to pay me, because I wasn't going to use it anyways. However, and this is not the case, this compartment is used by the bus company as, you know, so that the people that come on it pay for using it. And therefore, you can't use the svar of zen and of zelo chaser. So the final, and besides that, you know, he says, can you imagine if a word got out that, you know, this is okay to do? You think the bus company would be fine with this? Certainly not. Imagine everybody sticking all their things in the bus, and they're becoming a, you know, moving company, and certainly the bus company would not agree. And therefore, something there they would not be happy with, and the payment that people pay when they go on a bus is for transportation. Therefore, you can't use it without cost. The only possible heter could be, he says, is you could approach somebody who is going on the bus anyways and say, "Can you take this bag for me?" Since that person is paying and he has a right to use the baggage compartment when he wants to use it to do a chesed, so there's what to say. Maybe that, but that's okay. But just yourself sticking it under there and finished, that's not permitted. That's in conclusion, by the Maisa, the dear from Chaim Kanievsky, that when Chaim was a bacher, he recalls that he was learning in Petach Tikva, in Lomja, in Yeshivas Lomja in Petach Tikva, and once he was traveling home by bus. So he got on, paid the bus driver, went to a seat, and what do you think he did when he sat down? Of course, opened up his Gemara, started learning. So he got so engrossed in his learning that he missed his bus stop. Next thing you know, he lifts up his head and he notices that he passed Bnei Brak and now in Ramat Gan. So he's, oi. So he quickly, you know, shot his Gemara and ran off the bus, and he had to, by foot, make his way back from Ramat Gan to his home in Bnei Brak. When he arrived, he went to the Chazon Ish with the Shaila. He said, do I have to pay for the extra thing? In those days, it wasn't like a flat rate. It's the farther you go, the more you pay. So he only wanted to go to Bnei Brak, you know, didn't want to go further, but accidentally he went further. Does he have to pay the extra amount from Bnei Brak to Ramat Gan or not? So the Chazon Ish told them, Kishenosim Mishalmim. So if you travel, you have to pay. You didn't mean to, you didn't want to. Doesn't matter. Lamaisa, you have to pay the bus company for the trip, and you took a longer trip. You didn't want it. Okay, it's your problem. Mice, you got the extra mileage, so you have to pay for it. We have a Maisa with a Yid that he purchased a Chelkas Keveri, a place to be buried after 120 years. And he purchased it. And then he went to look. They told him exactly where it is afterwards. And he wanted to check it out, you know, where his final resting place is going to be. So when he got there, he was shocked, because he noticed that where he was supposed to be buried is between two women. Now, there's a minhag. The minhag olam is said that a man is not buried next to a woman unless it's his own spouse. And here, not only is this one woman, he's now buried between two women. So he says, not fair. Mekachtos, I would have never bought a kever between two women like that. And, you know, I want my money back, I have to change my place, whatever. Anyways, so he brought to Shaila the time to Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, that's all. And Yaakov heard the Shaila, and he says, listen, I have a solution. I have a solution for your problem. Without having the mechachtaos, money, no. Simple solution. What is that? Just instruct the Chevra Kedisha that after 120, when the time comes and you leave this world, that when they dig down, you know, dig your kever, they should dig it extra deep. So therefore, you're not going to be on the same level as the women buried by your side. They're higher up and you're lower down, so that's not considered next to them, because you're on a different level, you're deeper. That was the advice, a little, like we said, solution to the problem. When Rav Avram Ganichovsky Zatzal heard this Maisa, he said, like he used to very often used to learn Musar from situations. So he learned a lesson in Musar over here. And what was that? He says, sometimes a person's in a difficult matzav. So we say, sometimes he can't see a way out. He's between a rock and a hard place, as they say. And sometimes, what's the solution? How do you get out of this problem? Very often, the way is to bend, to go deeper, go down. In other words, if one humbles himself, very often that takes care of a lot of the problems. And humility and you know, subjugating oneself is a way to putter a lot of the problems in life. And like we see over here, you know, dig down deeper and then everything's okay. One digs down, becomes more humble, that solves a lot of problems. Similarly, is another maysa, see, same idea. Once a Yid came to one of the Chachmei Yisrael, I didn't say who it was, and they said, Rabbi, I don't know, I got so many problems with people. This person's bothering me, I can't get along with this guy, and this one, and this business guy in work, and my wife, Bichlal, I have problems with, and I don't know how to, I problems all these people, I don't know what to do. So the rabbi said to him, take your hand and lift it up and out, you know, stretch out your fingers, you know. So he does so. Didn't understand what the rabbi's getting at exactly. And the rabbi said to him, now look at your hand and look at your fingers. Are your fingers the same length or not? So with a puzzled look on his face, the fellow said, no, they're obviously all different heights. He said, right. Now, he says, make a fist. In other words, bend your fingers and towards your palm, which he did. He says, now look at your fingers. Are they different heights or the same? He says, no, they all meet together, all the same length. He says, very good. He says, we can learn a lesson of Musar over here. What is that? He says, when it comes to people, so many different people in the world. Everybody's different, and different personalities, whatever. That's represented by the fingers, right, that they're different length. But when are they different length? When they're outstretched. Meaning, when you are, haughty, and you're erect, like your fingers are, so then you can't get along with anybody and nobody. However, if you bend, like we said, you bend your fingers, if a person bends, is willing to bend and not be so strict and makpid on everybody, but he's willing to be humble, to bend. When one bends, then all of a sudden all the different levels and different people, they all become the same. You can handle it, you can relate to everybody. Told the person that's the secret. You can't get along with people. He says that's because you're erect, you're haughty. If you would bend yourself, be humble, you'll see that all of a sudden you'll now be able to get along with everybody. We'll end with a interesting little shaila. There was once a poor Yid, and he had only one suit for Shabbos. He wore the same, he had a Shabbos suit, and every single week he wore the same suit, that's all he had, for years. So you can imagine, after a time, it gets, you know, a little shabby looking, worn out, you know, wearing it week after week after week. But, okay, that's all, he couldn't afford a new one, all he had. One day, he opens the door and he sees a package. It's from some long lost relative. They sent him a gift. So he says, So he opens up, there's a box, opens it up. What does he see? A brand new suit. And not just a stomach suit, a suit, high quality, wool, beautiful, beautiful suit. So he's all excited. He says, finally I have a new Shabbos suit. So he proceeds to take it out of the box and put it on, you know, see how it looks on him. Well, after he puts it on, he was a little bit dejected. Why? Because he noticed that it doesn't fit so well. It was a little bit size or two too small. You know, the bottoms of the pants, you know, came up above his ankles, and the sleeves, you know, above his wrists, and it was a little small on him. So he was still prepared to wear it, you know, after all, it's a beautiful brand new suit. But, you know, so then he had an interesting Shaila. He said, what's the better way to go with this suit? He wants it for Shabbos, nice suit. So is it better to wear a brand new suit for this brand new suit for Shabbos, even though it doesn't fit so well? Or maybe his old suit that has the mila that it fits perfectly, but it's all worn out. What's better, a perfectly fitting worn out suit or a brand new suit that doesn't fit so well? That was the Shaila. So it was brought to the Ben Ish Chai in Torah Lishma, and he answered with something we find in the Torah. What is that? The Kohen Gadol. The Rambam brings, not the Kohen Gadol, but the Big Day Kahuna in general. So the Rambam brings down the Big Day about the Gvir Day Kahuna and Hilchos Klei Migdash, Perek Dal Ches Halacha Dalet. He says the Rambam, Big Day Kahuna Mitzvasam Sheyu Chadashim Na'im Meshushalim. Says it's a mitzvah that the Big Day Kahuna should be nice, should be new, nice. And the Kederach Big Day Hagdolim, like, you know, Chashev people, you know, should look Chashev. Fine. As it says, L'chavod L'tiferes. Continues the Rambam. Hayu Aruchim Yeter Al Midato. Let's say the Big Day Kahuna was too long on the Kohen. O Ktsarim Pachot Mididaso. Or it was too short. Avodasa Psula. It's a fact, the whole of his Avodas Pasul. If it doesn't fit perfectly, it's too long or too short, it's no good. It's all avoda is no good. Hayu meshuchakim, on the other hand, avodosak shera. What's meshuchakim? It means they're old, worn out. If they fit perfectly, but they're worn out, that's fine. Okay, it's not the best thing. Lechachil is supposed to be nice and new in it. But if it's worn out, but it fits well, so is a Vodasik share. So says the Ben Ish Chai, so you want to learn from here, answer to the Shaila. What do we see? We see that it's more important that something fits well, even though it's old and worn out, but more important that it fits well, because we buy the coin, the Big Day Kahuna, if it doesn't fit well, it's a Vodah Psula. It could be the nicest looking Big Day Kahuna, but if it doesn't fit well, pasal. However, if it's when we can be worn out, but if it fits properly, then avodah kshera. The Mela, this poor person, he should prefer to wear his old suit. At least it fits well, even though it's worn out, because that's better than a brand new suit that doesn't. It should be zoiche. So this is the parsha, Mora LeKoyanim Bnei Aaron. The parts of Kohanim, Zoicha to receive all the Birkas Kohanim, and Vavalvi Zoicha to the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhira Bimim.